Most of you read the title of my message in our bulletin this morning, and it may have struck you as almost unbelievable. But let's read together from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So it's very plain that there were persons who lived in the days of the Apostle Peter, people whom he knew, who would take scriptures that were difficult to understand and use those scriptures to teach destructive doctrine, or to teach a destructive and faulty religious system. Now, probably you will think, when you first consider this, that a few scriptures, just a few difficult scriptures, will not furnish enough building material for a false religious system. And that's the first thing that occurred to me as I began to study these scriptures. Well, a few difficult to understand scriptures just won't be enough basis for an entire false religious system that will be destructive to the person who initiates it and destructive to the people who ultimately get involved in that particular false religious system. But I think this is what Peter is saying, and he's using some of the scriptures that Paul wrote to these people to illustrate to them that difficult to understand scriptures have become the basis for many false teachings. And these false teachings are not simply humorous. They're destructive. As I began to study these verses of Scripture, and particularly the idea that Scripture, the most sacred and the most useful of any item we possess today, of everything that you possess, of everything that I possess, as far as something we can hold in our hands and see with our eyes, most valuable asset that you possess or I possess is this book, the Word of God. And the idea that this book, coming directly from Almighty God by inspiration of holy men, that it could ever produce destruction was a thought that in the beginning was quite abhorrent to me, and I didn't accept it that quickly. Until I began to think that oftentimes some of the most beneficial things that you and I possess, if they are misused, if they are misinterpreted, if they are misapplied, can serve as a destructive element. Most of you know that my family and I just returned from Florida, where we had a grand time swimming each day in the Gulf of Mexico at Navarre Beach. But instead of going at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning and swimming until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then coming home, we waited until about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and then we went swimming, and we swam until sundown. The reason we did that was to avoid that sunshine. Because had we gone and stayed in the middle of the day out in the sun, we would have been sick, literally. And you could possibly get second and third degree burns and have to go to the hospital. Now, I don't know of anything that's more beneficial to mankind physically than the rays of the sun. If it was not for the sun, wouldn't any of us eat? We wouldn't live long. We must have the sun. But if we're going to abuse it and overexpose ourselves to it, then it can create a lot of serious health problems for us. And I think of some of the chemicals that have been not discovered but have been put to a particular use in agriculture. We're not for those chemicals that we hear so much about. We're not for them. Much of the world would go hungry. And I thank God that we do have people who are able to use these chemicals and put them into a certain perspective. And one of the most common things that we possess and use on our tables is salt. But if you abuse and misuse salt, you can create serious health problems for yourself. And the difference between a deadly poison and common table salt is just a fraction. Just one more letter somewhere in that chemical equation, and it'd be fatal. A fatal poison. Now, as I thought on these things, I began to believe then that people who misuse and wrongly interpret and misapply the Word of God, they can bring tragedy to themselves. Not just in this life, but eternal tragedy. Peter refers to Paul's writings, and he mentions that they are given according to wisdom that was given to him, and in them he writes some things that are hard to be understood, and that he writes about the facts that are surrounding the last days. And I think this is what Peter has in the primary context, that Paul also wrote of end time events, but it was difficult to get a chronology of the end time events and to know exactly what Paul was writing about. And Peter said that he spoke in these parables of these things. And I think these things that he mentions are really the things that surround the day of the Lord, which will come, as Peter said, as a thief in the night. And as we begin to look at these scriptures, I want to make a statement that you've probably not heard made from a pulpit, at least not often, and that is this statement. Now, please let me explain it after I've made it. The Bible is not easy to understand. I know that we always say, well, if you want to understand the Bible, if you'll just read it, then you can understand it. But I think we have implanted in the minds of our hearers, we preachers have done this, that the Bible is a revelation from God that if just casually read, can be easily understood. But that just isn't true. The reason it isn't true is because there are many, many concepts in the Scriptures. There are many, many prophecies in the Scriptures. And it is difficult to always get these in their proper perspective and understand that concept and understand these events as they will happen. It is difficult. In fact, I'll be truthful to you, and you already know this, and I will admit to you without even the slightest embarrassment, although I've been preaching for 25, 26 years, and I've been teaching in a seminary for 10 years, and hold several degrees, I will tell you quite frankly without any embarrassment that there are several, many passages of Scripture that I'm not sure that I'm interpreting them correctly. Now, I'm not shaky on the plan of salvation. I'm not shaky about baptism. I'm not shaky about the church. I'm not shaky about the coming of the Lord, but there are some things, as I read them, I have some question marks in my mind, and no matter how I interpret them, there are still just a few question marks. I don't have perfect understanding when it comes to the Word of God. Let me give you this warning. If anyone ever comes to you and tells you that they have perfect understanding of every verse of the Word of God, you shun that person like a mad dog. Because I don't think any man perfectly understands this great book we call the Bible. And that doesn't mean we can't understand the great truths to the point of ordering our lives and being saved and knowing the great truths of it. But there are just some things that could be this or could be that in relation to, well, the rapture. Is it before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation? And that's something that I don't think Baptist people have ever been able to settle. But we can work together without ever settling that particular point. Some things, Peter said, concerning the writings of Paul the Apostle are hard to be understood. I think Peter means by this that there are difficulties in putting together an exact chronology of end-time events. These end-time events and the prophetic utterances that Paul made were given to him according to wisdom. They're not just foolish things, but they are given in wisdom from Almighty God. So it's not that they're foolish things that we can just speculate about and that's what God wants us to do. God has given to us as plainly as He can His will and His wisdom, but we just don't have the capacity to grasp all the truths of the Word of God without having to study and study quite hard. Peter doesn't exclude understanding. He said some things are hard to be understood. He didn't say all things are hard to be understood. But we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. I get amused. Maybe I'm not amused. Maybe I should use the word perplexed or disturbed. But I have a rather adverse mental reaction to people when you tell them you teach theology, say, well, that's sort of like a Sunday school class. It doesn't take much study to teach theology. You know, if I told people that I taught biology, they'd say, I bet you have to spend a lot of time preparing, don't you, preacher? If I told them that I taught botany or some of the other sciences, they'd say, or chemistry, that I imagine it takes a lot of time to get ready to teach a chem class. When I say I teach theology, people say, well, you get that 15 minutes. We get up in the morning while you're shaving, you can look at the Bible a little bit. That's all it takes to get ready to teach theology. No problem at all. Anybody can teach theology. No study, no preparation, no problem. We've created that attitude, but it isn't so. It isn't true. If you're going to teach the truth, you will have to study. I believe with all my heart God will help you, but He'll not infuse it into your brain through some divine spiritual injection, and you just wake up like you've had a dream and say, hey, I know everything about the Bible. That'll not happen to you. If it does, don't depend on it. Now, because of these difficult passages in the writings of Paul, Peter said that people have taken advantage of such passages. And he gave us something of their character. Some people, Peter said, have taken advantage of the difficulties presented in the writings of Paul the Apostle. But Peter said, let me tell you what type persons these are. They are, first of all, unlearned. That's the word that's used, and it means untaught and uninstructed. It simply means that they are unlearned in the Scriptures. It doesn't mean they are unlearned in other things. Have you noticed how quickly people assume that if a person knows anything else, he must automatically know everything about the Bible? And if you reverse that, people would laugh at you and probably take you into court and sue you. Example. A medical doctor. I don't know why this is, but a medical doctor oftentimes is looked upon as having a great understanding of the Word of God. And people will say, well, Dr. So-and-so said this is what the Bible means. I've never understood why people would believe that simply because a man possesses a doctor of medicine degree, it would automatically entitle him to practice theology. Because I have a doctor of theology degree and you won't let me practice medicine on you, will you? Huh? You've never sent for me. Well, let me take your appendix out. That's not too bad, you know. Well, he could teach the men's Bible class because he's got a doctor of medicine degree. Dr. So-and-so teaches the men's Bible class. Well, that doesn't qualify him any more than anyone else. Just because we have a lot of education somewhere else doesn't mean that we know the Bible. In fact, oftentimes I find that people from every walk of life are able to grasp and understand the Word of God because it takes a willing heart and a willing mind and a mind that will look at these truths and attempt to understand them. That's what it takes. Peter didn't say that these people didn't have any learning, that they were ignoramuses, that they were people who couldn't read and people who couldn't write. Didn't say they were illiterate. He said they're unlearned, and the unlearned is in the things of the Scriptures. And he also writes that they're unstable. You know, if a man's unlearned in the Word of God, that person's unstable. At least in spiritual things. If we're ignorant of the Word of God, then we will be unstable. One of the writers of the Bible put it this way, that they were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It means that every time they heard a new teaching, they immediately swallowed it up and were swept away with it. That pretty well describes the actions and activities of people who are religiously oriented in their lives but who have very little Bible knowledge. They will believe in every new thing that comes along. In fact, they're always looking for something new to believe and some striking new doctrine to grasp and use. Now these people, Peter said, are unlearned and unstable, and because of this, they rest as they do also the other Scriptures. Now this word rest, W-R-E-S-T, comes from a noun that is the name of a windlass or a winch. Something you used to crank to draw water out of the well. A windlass. Crank it. Or an instrument of torture, like the rack or a wheel where people were stretched. And in this, it means something that is used to twist or turn, hence to pervert. All right, what's Peter saying? Peter says that these unlearned and unstable people take a scripture that is difficult to understand and they take it and twist it and turn it, much like a person would do torturing someone else. They literally torture the scripture until they've got it twisted into something that they want it to teach. And they use this and pervert this until it is a matter or means of destruction. I think there are two ways that we can wrest the scriptures. One of them is to take the scripture and just twist it itself and make it say something that God never intended for it to say, or to just pull it out of its context, pull it out of its setting, set it off over here by itself, and let it say something that God never intended for it to say. And Peter said they also do the other scriptures this way. These people are not content with just one misuse and misapplication and misinterpretation of the Word of God. They do it to many scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul wrote, "For we are not as many." Now you look at how many. He uses that, many. "For we are not as many which corrupt." That means to deal deceitfully with. We're not like a lot of people, Paul writes, who deal deceitfully with the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we of Christ. Now Paul said, when we speak of Christ, we do it in sincerity, we do it according to the will of God, but other people do not. They use the Word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully use Scripture. They deceive people by using Scripture they have twisted or taken out of setting. In Matthew, Jesus said, in Matthew 22:29, "Ye do err," or make an error, literally, "not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." He was speaking to people who had been studying the Word of God, but Jesus said, "You are in error." That is, you practice false religion because you do not understand the scriptures. In Mark the 7th chapter, verses 6 through 13, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures." Or literally, "You are searching the scriptures. For in them ye think," or believe, "that you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me." Chapter 7 of Mark. Here's what Jesus was saying. You people are trying to find the truth by reading the Bible, and so you're searching the Bible, and as you search the Bible, you place your confidence in the Bible, and because you do this, you think that you have eternal life. But eternal life is not found. Now you listen to me very closely. I'm going to say it again in a little while, but I want you to get used to this statement. Eternal life is not given to you because you believe the Bible. Now listen. You're not saved because you believe the Bible. You're not saved because you trust the Bible. We are saved because we believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus and because we trust Him. Okay? Jesus said, "I am the way," not Scripture, "but I am the way, the truth, and the life." We must believe the Bible. We must trust the Bible. But we must let the Bible lead us to trust Jesus Christ. Because salvation is in a man. Salvation is in the Savior. not in the book that tells us of the Savior. Now, when Paul spoke to a group at Antioch, he said, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they know him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." Now here's what Paul said of the people that lived at Jerusalem, Jewish people. He said, they don't know Jesus Christ, nor have they understood the voices or the writings of the prophets, and they're read every day, every Sabbath day, these prophets are read. But these people at Jerusalem, they don't know him of whom they testify. They don't properly interpret nor understand these scriptures that are read every Sabbath day. So what did they do? They sided with the elders and rulers and cried for the crucifixion of the Son of God. Now here are people who took the scriptures and wrested them to their own destruction. See, they had prophecies concerning the Messiah. They read those prophecies. They heard them read every Sabbath day. They took them and twisted them. They did not apply them to the Jesus of Nazareth. They said, no, he's not the one who fulfilled this prophecy. They twisted them, wrested them, tortured the scriptures, made them say something that God didn't want them to say. And in so doing, they became a party to the condemnation and the crucifixion of the Son of God. Now that's what can happen when we don't properly understand the Word of God. Peter said, they have done this, they've wrested this unto their own destruction. And this word destruction, when it's used of persons, means death by violence. Metaphorically, it means perdition. So Peter's saying people who misuse, misquote, misapply the Word of God bring upon themselves a violence that is destructive. Now, it may not be in this life, but it certainly will be in the life to come. And because of this, false teachers are no laughing matter. You know, I can very well remember when the Pentecostals and the Holy Rollers were objects of derision, and only the lowest economic, educational class of people in the most backward areas of our world believed in Pentecostalism and paid any heed to it, and certainly would not even admit in public they were Pentecostals. They're not Holy Rollers anymore. They're charismatics or charismatics, and they probably are the most influential group of people in the state of Arkansas today. Religiously and financially, politically, the charismatics are probably the most influential group of people in our state today. And 30 years ago, they were the laughing stock. So when you decide that you're going to laugh at the bench jumpers and the Pentecostals, just remember what they were 30 years ago and what they are today. False religion, misinterpretation of the Word of God, is no laughing matter. Jesus, as I said of people, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I want to give you just an example or two of a misinterpretation of the Word of God. You may wonder, where does the system known as Catholicism, where does it get its basis for a priesthood? This is just one error I want to point out. They get it from the Old Testament. They have not realized, or if they have realized it, they have not put it into practice, that the Old Testament priesthood was prophetic. And since Jesus has come, it is no longer necessary nor valid. But in order to have a hierarchical system, they have to go back to the Old Testament and pick it up there. The Church of Christ, many fine, wonderful people, but they misinterpret usually just a half dozen scriptures like Acts 2:38. And because of that, they believe that baptism is necessary to salvation. Consequently, some of them depend on baptism rather than on Jesus. And it becomes a destructive doctrine rather than something to simply say, well, they don't know what they're talking about and going on. It's a pity that people misinterpret these scriptures. Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that man is conscious after death, because in the book of Ecclesiastes there is this statement, the dead know not anything. And they said, that's what the Bible says, the dead know not anything. And in the New Testament, Jesus used the word sleep. Well, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes and study it, you know that it speaks from the viewpoint of our own feeling, physically. And when you look at a dead man, he doesn't know anything. You ask him a question, he won't answer you. If he did, you'd run off, wouldn't you? I would. From the physical appearance, the dead know not anything. But from the instruction we find in the Word of God, dead people are spiritually conscious. And the word sleep is just a figure of speech because of the repose people have in death as they are prepared for burial. That's what Jesus meant. He's not dead, he's sleeping. That is, he has the appearance of sleep. And I will awaken him by giving him life. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Sabbatarians, they have to go to the Old Testament in order to pick up a Sabbath day observance. There are a lot of peculiar things in the Bible. There are a lot of things that don't fit the Western mind. But there's not anything in the Bible that doesn't fit God's mind. And whenever you possess God's mind, you'll be able to understand every verse in this book. That's why Peter's going to tell these people a little bit later, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be careful studying the Bible. It's said to be a sword, a two-edged sword, and you'd be careful if you had a sharp two-edged sword that was just surgically sharp, you know, long two-edged sword. You'd be careful with it. The Bible says that the Word of God is a fire. You know, if you had a torch, a burning fire, you'd handle it carefully. Handle the Word of God carefully. Do your best to understand it correctly. That way you'll not hurt yourself with it.